WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song.
This is the Firefly Funhouse, and I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yeah, this is Broken Not Hottie. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap. And now, you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you.
Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Part of our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out. YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. You get a quick second and you know you're on Twitch, you're hanging out, you're listening to this show. You happen to have your Twitch Prime sub available, you can subscribe for free for 30 days. All you do have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe. And well, if you don't have Twitch Prime or you don't want to use your free sub here, you can always subscribe the regular way. We're happy to have you there too. Or you can just hang out and lurk and chat. You can just follow the channel. Anyway, we can get you. We're happy with that. And if you want to follow my channel, twitch.tv/Lindsay Ward, same as my Twitter. So anyway, I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Did you know that if you've never subscribed to this channel, your first month is 20% off? First, for your first ever Tier 1 subscription to on Twitch, desktop only, it is 20% off for the month of August. That's apparently a thing. But use the Twitch Primes, because the Twitch Primes are awesome.
20% off. That can't beat that.
You really can't beat that. By the way, follow us at Wild Talk Radio, at Record Show, at Lindsay Ward on the Twitter chat. Right here at WildTalkRadio.com, RecordRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTLive, because we're here, we're live, we're doing a show, first episode of Rack in a week.
I didn't realize I was going to miss that many shows.
Lindsay's back for the first show in 10 days.
I didn't realize I was going to miss that much.
It's been a minute.
It wasn't until we got there that I was like, oh, right, crap. I'm going to miss like 2 or 3 shows.
It's okay.
Oh, well.
We made it through.
We got through it. Rock had a little bit of a vacation, too. So.
Kind of. Not really.
You didn't have to do as much, so.
I mean, well, we're not going to talk about that. Anyway.
Anyway, so yeah, so we naturally, because I missed 10 days worth of shows and Raws and SmackDowns and NXTs happened while I was gone, we need to talk about it. Plus, there's lots of news that we need to talk about because, again, things happened while I was away. All it takes for me is to be away from my computer and just everything implodes. So we are going to get right into the news brought to you by our friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. And we have to talk about really the biggest story of the 2 weeks, 10 days, however you want to say it, which is that The Rock is in negotiations with an investment group to buy the XFL.
Wait. We have a bit.
For the love of
football. This is the XFL.
So like The Undertaker, the XFL will just not die. It's going to live. No, it's going to be revived one more time, potentially. Now, this is pending approval from the creditors because the XFL is in bankruptcy and The Rock is paying a cool $15 million for it, which is, I would wager, well below the actual value of the XFL and probably what is owed to the creditors. So they're trying to block it. We'll see if he's able to get the purchase through for that amount or if they're going to negotiate things out.
Couple things. One, it's The Rock and a group of people, including Danny Garcia, which is his ex-wife, and Red Bird Capital are the ones partnering up to buy the XFL. He's the big name leading the way.
Yeah.
And he was out there on social promoting it and everything. And it's cool. It's like, hey, we get our segment back.
Yeah, our segment lives, number one. I know a lot of cities are really, really excited about this. A lot of the XFL fans, including myself, are really excited about this because the XFL was being done right. And unfortunately, just due to COVID, it just didn't survive. It got shut down because it just lost too much money in the ticket sales and everything else that they had to refund. So, it was really, really sad when that happened. And so the fact that this news has come out and that The Rock and his wife, ex-wife, and the investment company are going to buy it, that's pretty effing cool. And they're going to revive it one more time. And I think The Rock, as the face of the XFL, will be what it needs. And as we've all seen, The Rock is incredibly astute with his financial decisions. He's very good with his money. He sees something in this, something that he can do with it. So I'm very curious to see what they do and how they bring it back. And I'm just excited because it's the XFL. It's back. Thank God. It's something to watch. It's not going to be back anytime soon.
No, of course not. But
it's something else to watch.
It's living on. The XFL name is living on. And he told a story about, you know, him going to Calgary and trying out for the Canadian Football League and how that ended up failing for him. And it's like, he's very passionate about football. And if you watch Ballers on HBO,
it was a great show.
And it basically led up to him, you know, wanting to buy a football team. Now, well,
he's living the dream,
He's living the dream.
He's doing the thing. So
yeah, cool.
And interestingly enough, this makes him the first minority, in partnership with his ex-wife, first minority sports league owners.
Yeah.
Which is very, very cool. So congratulations to them. I hope it doesn't get blocked. I hope it goes through and they are able to revive the XFL.
Hold on, before we move on really quick. What could happen because of all this, because of certain situations, I doubt it will come to this, but there's a chance The Rock would have to sue Vince McMahon.
Oh my God, that'd be hilarious.
Because of all the bankruptcy stuff.
Oh my God, that would be so amazingly funny.
It won't happen. I doubt it happens.
No, but they're going to have to go to court probably over things. So, at the very least, The Rock and Vince are going to have to work together on the handoff, which, please God, somebody put a camera in that room. Because that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Vince is not going to get it back. Vince, I think, is done unless he's a part of the group, the investment group. Vince is not going to get it back.
Vince is done, but he knows it's good in good hands. The Rock has it, so it's not like it's going to someone Vince would never trust. Vince trust The Rock?
The only way I could see Vince being involved in it is in some kind of advisory role or in some kind of management role. But you have to remember, Vince is in his 70s, which by no means he's not old. But Vince's health has also been in question as of late. Nobody really knows what's going on with him. And good Lord, the man has like worked himself solid for since the 80s. Like, he just has never stopped. So, I mean, Vince should have a well-deserved, well-earned rest from this. And maybe they find somebody a little younger, you know, a little bit more dynamic to run the show. I mean, obviously they have a figurehead in The Rock, but, you know, somebody else to stand with The Rock and lead the way for the future. So, in other exciting news, our favorite twins gave birth.
That's a great story.
A day apart, which I had to chuckle because it's like, oh my God, did they give birth on the same day? No, they did not. They gave birth a day apart. Bree had a son. Bree and Brian have a son, so congratulations to them. He was born first, and then Nikki and Artem had their son, and he was born second. And interestingly enough, they put the pictures out on the same day.
No, Nikki's was born first.
Oh, Nikki's was born first. I'm sorry. I saw Bree and Brian's first, and then I saw Nikki's. No,
that's exactly how it happened. Bree put out her stuff, but Nikki had hers, her and Artem had theirs the day before, but they didn't put out anything about it. So,
yeah.
Brie had an hour to herself of, hey, look what I did, before Nikki stepped in and...
With an exact same baby picture, by the way.
Yeah, which is, she stepped in and went, hey, look over here, see mine, here's mine.
So, congratulations to both couples. It's a huge blessing for the family, and I hope they have many, many, many years of happiness together as the babies grow.
That'd be good. That's good for them.
It's great for them. Here's the thing. It's something that Nikki has wanted for a long time. Not to take away from Bree and Brian, but Bree and Brian are so blessed, and they have Birdie, and I don't know their son's name, so I'm just going to call him the baby, because I don't think they've released the names yet. Of the two kids. But Bree and Brian have Birdie, and they have this wonderful, happy life together, and they have all these blessings, and this is just one more blessing for them, on top of so many others. For Nikki, we watched the struggle, right? We watched it play out on Total Divas and Total Bellas for years with John Cena. All I want to do is get married. All I want to do is have kids. That's all she's ever wanted, right? So she gets the shot, Cena agrees to marry her, Cena agrees to give her kids, and then she doesn't end up with him. And the fairy tale's over, they break up, she moves on with Artem, and they carry on with their lives, and then there's the drama going on Total Bellas this season, which I didn't see all of it. I saw some of it where it's like, well, you know, are they really serious about each other? And then she gets pregnant. And so Artem proposes, not only because she got pregnant, but also because he loves her. And now she has sort of the prophecy or the desire filled, where she has the baby and she has this wonderful man with her and she's going to have this wonderful life and it's going to be ultra blessed. So it's nice that Nikki has finally gotten what she wanted, which is to be a mother.
Yeah, so I need to read you a tweet
from
Nikki on Twitter. And how about that tag team? I can't believe Brie and I had boys less than 24 hours apart. Honestly, only us, LOL. And then I beat her. As you can imagine, everyone said it was my baby and mine's competitive side that kicked in.
God.
I can't wait for our Bella boys to grow up together.
Poor Brie. An hour. She just had an hour to herself.
Legitimately an hour. I can look back in our group chat and go, yeah. It was an hour between it. It's like, I saw it come out. I was like, no, she didn't. Just have it the same day. And it was like, no, wait. It was the day before.
Yeah, and apparently everything went fine. There's no reports of problems, but I would suspect that it was filmed and it will be on Total Bellas if there is another season of Total Bellas.
There was another season of Total Bellas coming. If there's footage of the birth, it was filmed by Brian and Artem.
So there you go.
Just for everyone worrying about, you know,
COVID
stuff. They mentioned that in their interview, that stuff like that, if it would happen, they would be the ones doing it.
So, more happy news, because we're going to stick with the happy news for a second. Angel Garza, and I'm going to rant about this later.
That hoe.
Angel Garza officially got married last week. I'm going to rant about this when we talk about Raw, because we are talking about Raw in the second segment. But yeah, so congratulations to Angel and his fiance, now wife. They are officially married. She looked gorgeous. Their wedding photos are adorable. And yeah, so they now are officially husband and wife. And I'm just going to go off about Angel Garza and what they're having him do on TV later. Moving on from that, we have a couple Impact signings to talk about. Kimberly has officially signed with Impact Wrestling, and Eric Young has officially signed an exclusive contract with Impact Wrestling.
Good for them.
So congratulations to them. And in AEW news, AEW has officially signed Eddie Kingston after his stellar performance last week.
Young up-and-coming talent. There was sarcasm there. Sarcasm.
And then last but certainly not least.
Hold on. Before we get to your rant part, because that's coming. AEW has announced that 3 episodes of Dynamite will be preempted. Wednesday, August 19th episode of Dynamite will now air on Saturday, August 22nd at 6 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday, August 26th, Dynamite will air on Thursday, August 27th at 8 p.m. And the September 16th episode of Dynamite will air on Thursday, September 17th at 8 p.m.
So there you go. So mark it in your calendars, guys, because basketball is back.
Yes.
So last but certainly not least, unless we have anything else.
There is something above it, but yeah.
Oh yeah, let's do that first. Blame Brent.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulder snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
Actually, technically in the sheet, the XFL is above the AEW preemptions, and we already talked about that. So, you know. Anyway, Brent Hurt, Mr. Man Panties, a.k.a. Juice Robinson, he has an injured leg.
Hashtag blame Brent.
He'll miss the upcoming New Japan events. It's not too serious, but...
I don't even know if he still wears the man panties. Does he wear the man panties?
I don't know. I haven't seen him in a while.
Does anybody know if Juice Robinson still wears his little panties?
Ask Tony Storm.
Well, that's private. I don't want to involve myself. So, all right. Now, officially, third try, last story, maybe.
In other news.
AEW has announced, and I want to talk about this, which is why we saved this for last, a paid fan service called AEW Heels, which for $50 a month... Or not $50 a month, $50 a year.
I can read the whole thing if you want me to. Give all the details.
Fine.
AEW Heels, the new female-focused wrestling community led by AEW Chief Brand Officer Brandi Rose and the stars of AEW's Women's Division, today announced the launch of a new fan membership platform. Powered by a wonderful union-secure digital platform, female wrestling fans can seamlessly access AEW Heels' exclusive content and other special benefits, all in a safe environment for engaging in conversation, developing friendships, worldwide. With an annual paid subscription of $49, members receive access to a variety of features, including virtual meet and greets, video conference discussions with industry experts, exclusive AEW talent Q&A sessions, customized merchandise, special promotions, theme parties, and more. The secure space enables AEW Heels members to connect, learn, and thrive together through shared passion for women's wrestling. Female fans can go to allEliteHeels.com to subscribe. Their first event, AEW Heel members, is scheduled for tomorrow, which includes in its annual subscription. The virtual event will be curated on the platform and feature a Q&A session with Aubrey Edwards, a social media strategy discussion with Brandy, that's fitting, and a special session on respect and empowerment in the workplace with Akeisha Ann Gray, partner of Pro Scour. AEW Heels is the first of its kind community design to celebrate and inspire our female fans around the world, said Chief Brand Officer Brandi Rhodes. With the new platform, we look forward to the next step in connecting the Heels, AEW Heels community, making this the best time ever to be a female wrestling fan.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about this.
So, Lindsay, as a female wrestling fan, your thoughts?
I have to tactfully put this together because when I talked about this before, there were a lot of F-bombs.
Yes.
So, all right. Let's break this down. So, one, my criticism of this has nothing to do with the idea. Personally, I think this is a wonderful idea. Being a female in the online wrestling space sucks. Because you get threatened, you get belittled, you get ignored, you get harassed, you get all kinds of shit being in the wrestling space. Because it's a male-dominated space. More and more women are speaking up and they're coming out and they're letting their voice be heard. Because women were always a part of it, but it is definitely a male-dominated area. So the fact that they are creating this space for women to come in and talk about wrestling and talk about it in a safe environment where it's only women, which I'm not sure how they're going to handle that. How you prove you're a lady or you identify as a lady.
Yeah, that's a really interesting wording. Continue.
Because people, reasons.
Gender is very neutral these days.
Yes. So, I'm not sure how they're going to manage that, but they can figure that out. They're very smart. I think that's wonderful. Here's where I have an issue. You're going to charge for it. And I get it. It's only about $4 a month. But the fact that you're saying, oh yeah, we're going to create a space stay for females to come and talk, and you're going to get all these benefits, and you're going to get to do all this stuff, you have to pay for it. That's a money grab. Straight up, plain and simple, it's, you are targeting your female fans. You're giving them something they don't have on the internet, but you're going to make them pay for it. Which is a problem. Okay? I'm sorry. It's an issue. It's a problem. Why am I going to pay you $4 a month of my money to come into your environment, to come into your thing, when I don't necessarily need to? What's the hook? What's the grab? And granted, I'm not a big AEW fan. So for me, this does not appeal to me. But just in general, even if WWE did it, like where they're like, oh, we're going to do a females only, you know, thing, and you can come in and hang out with our superstars, and you can do this and you can do that, but it costs $4 a month. No. No, I'm not going to pay you additional money. I already pay for my network subscription. I'm not paying for anything else. I'm not going to do that. To me, that's just like, I don't need that in my life. Some people do. I don't need that personally. I feel like it's a mistake. I feel like they're kind. Yes, I know what it's called, Ash. Very familiar with that concept. What I'm saying is it's stupid. Putting up a paywall on it is stupid. Is what I'm saying. If you want to create the environment, if you want to have it where it's women only, that's fine. Do that. Create that, because you are the only person in the industry that would have it, right? You create the forum, you have somebody manage the forum, and you deal with that. And the forum and maybe a few other things that they've got in there are free. And that's how you bring people into your forum. And that's how you do that, right? Then the hook is, well, for just $4 a month, you can hang out with our talent and you can have discussions and video chats and this and that and the other. You know, you can do all these things. And I'm not, are the discussions like monthly? Are the hangouts like monthly, or are they weekly?
Monthly, I think.
Okay, so it's monthly. So for once a month, you get your discussion, you get your hangout, you get whatever, and then you move on. And you give people the option to pay for it or not. Because I'm sorry, I'm not paying $4 to go into a forum if I don't want to be in that discussion that month, or I don't want to hang out with that talent that month. That's the practical side of me, and granted, I am probably not in their target, says no to that. I just say no to that. So I feel like the idea is very sound. I think it's a very good one, but paying for it's the issue.
There's nothing wrong with creating an environment. Nothing. Female fans should have the ability to go to a safe space and feel like their opinion can be heard. That's great. Would you like to offer them free conference calls? Zoom meetings, basically. Virtual meeting greets with talent. That's great. If you want to add, like, virtual meeting greets as a, you know, a paywall feature, we'll go with that. That's fine, because that's something that would cost money, because you can't do it in person. That's one thing. But to have a safe space to talk about your product, you shouldn't have to pay for it when there's many free avenues to do so. If you wanted to create a safe space, create a Discord for your fans.
Yeah.
Create an environment, because there is an AEW fans Discord that people talk about the product. Create an environment where people of any nature can talk and safely talk. How about that? We all want equality and other things. Why is it just women?
Yeah, that's the other thing is, I mean, again, I appreciate what they're trying to do, because it is a very women-focused brand, because Brandi is the chief brand officer. She's trying to make it very female-centric, very welcoming to female fans. Because here's the deal. The male 18 to 45 demo, the demo is in dispute, right? People are fighting over that demo. You know what demo they're not fighting over? Women 18 to 45. 49. Nobody's fighting over that.
49,
whatever. Nobody's fighting over that. Nobody's talking about that. Nobody's looking at that. And here's the deal. That demo has power, because while the men, yes, they have the power, they da-da-da-da-da, the women have the kids. The women are generally the ones taking care of the kids, and the women are generally going to be the ones that are going to introduce the kids to wrestling and are going to be okay with the kids watching wrestling. They might hang out with dad, or they might hang out with their brother, or they may hang out with, you know, a cousin or an uncle or whoever and watch it with them. But ultimately, it's going to be mom that they're like, hey, I want to watch AEW, or I want to watch WWE, and mom's like, yeah, how about no? But if you get mom hooked on it, and the kid gets hooked on it, then you've got mom and the kid, and then the kid's going to grow up loving the product, and then you get your kid into your target demo at some point. So I see what they're doing, right? They're going after that undisputed demo right now. They're trying to hook that in. They're trying to draw that in to give themselves more viewership. Because WWE isn't necessarily going after that, and they're not necessarily going after that. Everybody is looking at the male demo right now, and nobody's really looking at the women. And they understand that the women have a certain level of power in wrestling, and it's getting stronger. It's growing. More and more women are interested in professional wrestling, are watching professional wrestling, are buying merchandise, are buying tickets to shows, are taking their kids to shows, or they're taking themselves. You know, it's there, and they're seeing that. They're watching their metrics, and that's what they're doing, is they're seeing that metric, and they're going, hey, we can do something with this. We can tap this, because nobody else is touching it right now. Again, not a problem with that at all. It's high time, because I still want it. I'm never going to get it, but I want my fucking beefcake calendar. Never going to happen, but I want it. It's high time that they started catering to women in wrestling.
I mean, they went with the Underground for women.
I'm going to slap you.
What? It was true.
I understand it was true. I'm just saying, it's time that they started catering more and more to the female demographic. And they started taking that female demographic seriously and showing that, yes, we are a female-led company. We respect our women. We respect our women's division. Look how strong and powerful it is. Look how they are equal to the men, because all of that stuff matters. The men of the world are like, oh, this is stupid, but you know what? As a woman, you watch how a company treats their employees, and particularly their female performers. It's like, yeah, they treat their women like shit. Like, WWE has treated their women like shit for years. Years. AEW, not so much. They do better by their women. They take care of their women's division a little bit better. A little bit better. Not by much, but a little bit better. Like, WWE has come a long way in terms of how they treat their women. But they're still not on either side on the same level as the men. And they probably never will be, because it's a male-dominated sport.
It is a male-dominated sport, but WWE is more women-focused than AEW is. And AEW can claim they're more women-focused, even though they're, I don't know, haven't seen.
But it's the look of the thing. It's the look. It's not necessarily what they're actually doing. It's what the casual fan sees versus what is actually going on.
That would be surprising, because you don't see the women mostly on Dynamite. But hey, they have their own YouTube show. Tournament.
Yay!
That's a thing.
Anyway, I mean, I think it's a good idea. I don't like the pay idea. I mean, at least for the whole thing, I still feel like they should create the space. They should bring people in, and then they should let people see what it's really like. Because here's the thing: I don't want to sign up for an annual subscription. I know I'm sure you can cancel it any time, but I'm at least out the $4. Which to some people, $4 is a lot of money, but it's like, hey, I really want to be a part of this. I really want to sign up for this. And then they get in it and it's like, oh, well, this is not really what I thought it was. Let people come in, at least experience the forum, give them like a free trial to experience the whole thing and see it, and then say, okay, you know, after 30 days or after a week or whatever, then you have to pay for it. It's just, it's more of a marketing tactic. And maybe that's what I'm trying to say, is that the marketing office is just off. But we'll see how they do with the full pay. I mean, they may do fine with it, but I feel like you need to bring people in, need to let them see it, and then you need to let them pay for it. Because if you get people hooked on it, then they're going to pay for it. That's what Twitch does. That's how Twitch gets you, in case you haven't figured that out yet with that free Twitch Prime or those subs. That's how Twitch gets you. The big streamers, that's how they get you. You want to talk in their chat? Oh, hey, you have to pay them with a sub to do it. Not here, but you go into the big streamer world and yeah, you got to pay to talk in their chat. And the only way you can do that is to subscribe either through Twitch Prime or through the regular way. So,
by the way, sales with membership, all sales final.
Oh, so you don't even get your money back?
It says,
do you pay it monthly or can you pay it?
It's a one-time fee. It's a one-time fee.
So you're out $50.
Yeah.
You're not even out $4. You're out $50. Yeah, no, that no. That's a bad idea.
It's a 1-year subscription service.
No, that's a bad idea. You should at least allow it to be paid either monthly or one time. Who came up with this? Who came up with a plan for this? Did they talk to a marketing person at all?
their chief brand officer?
Did they talk? I mean, no offense to her, but did they go to their marketing company and say, hey, this is how we want to do this? This is how we want to market this? Did y'all pull? I want to know, do they pull research?
They used a company and that's what they went with.
I need to speak to that company. I want to see that research. I really, really do. Because, yeah, no, if I was going through all that and I looked at it, it's like, yeah, $50 non-refundable. No! No, 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 no. Because I don't want to, like, pay for a year of this and then I go into it and I don't like it.
It says in big capital letters, all sales final.
No. So, ideas sound paying mid tech. Dicks are not.
Yeah.
So anyway, so there's that. And well, Brandy has not taken too well to the criticism about this and a lot of other things. And it seems as if she's deactivated her Twitter account for a while to get away from it. Which I respect her for. If she can't handle the criticism and the comments and everything like that, and it's for her mental health, then yes, absolutely, get away from Twitter and the app and everything like that and go take care of yourself. Here's my one issue. When you put yourself in a position as a leader, as something like a chief brand officer for a company, and you are a public face of a company, you're, as much as it sucks, you're going to have to face a specific level of criticism about the brand that you represent. Now, I'm not saying that you have to accept bullying or threats or harassment or anything like that. People are being dicks. You do not have to deal with that, but you do have to accept a certain level of criticism about what you're doing, because not everybody is going to love what you're doing. People are going to look at it and make their own decisions. Now, some people are going to look at this and what AEW is doing in general, and they're going to be like, oh yeah, this is awesome. This is great. And then in some other cases, especially with this, some people are like, $50 to get into your forum and it's targeted specifically at women. At women, you're going to charge women $50 to get into a safe space. There was quotations with that. And do online forums and video calls and meet and greets and that kind of thing. Like you're taking your male fans completely out of it. It feels. And this is a wrong term, but it feels like a pink tax. Like you're just straight up going for a money grab and you're milking your female audience for what you can. And that's what you're going for. And you're not even, I mean, I respect it. They're not even hiding it, but they're going for the money grab. And she has to be prepared for that kind of criticism because people are going to see it. And that may not be what it is, but she needs to be prepared for stuff like that because people are going to say that. I just said it. I'm probably not the only one. Because everybody's going to formulate their own opinion, right? We're all human, and like assholes, everybody has an opinion. So she has to be prepared to take that. If you do not want to take the criticism, again, all the hate, bullying, bullshit, all that other stuff aside, if you cannot deal with basic levels of criticism about what you're doing on a day in to day out basis, then you need to step down. I get it's tough. I get it's really hard to be the public face of a company. And not everybody is meant to do it. Here's the thing. Stephanie McMahon, who is Brandy's contemporary, think about how much hate and shit gets thrown at her every day. Every day. Right? More so when she turns up on TV. Same thing with Hunter. Same thing with Vince. Same thing with any celebrity or any personality that you see. They all deal with it. And it sucks. Right? It absolutely sucks and they shouldn't have to deal with it, but they do. And some people handle it better than others. And some people walk away from Twitter, which is what Brandy's done. I don't think that's the smartest thing for her to do because, again, she is in a position of a chief brand officer.
Here's the thing. When AEW is put in a corner where there's some sort of negativity around them and things don't go exactly how they plan PR-wise, they run and hide. Yes, they're boasting about demo gods and ratings wars and Tony Khan's having the best week ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Brandy now has deactivated her Twitter, which makes her a victim, and that's her right. What happened to the Young Bucks when there were a couple bad episodes of Dynamite? What did they do? Oh, that's right. They deleted their Twitters, too.
If it bothers you that much, here's the thing. You do have options. You can delete your Twitter, which is what she did. I don't think that's right if you're the chief brand officer of a company. You are a public face of a company. I don't feel like you should deactivate your Twitter.
Just delete the app.
You can delete the app.
So no one would know. Just don't post for a few days and delete the app. Just don't have to draw attention. Now the story is, and here's the spin of it. This is what AEW is good at, is the story isn't, oh my God, people are complaining about AEW heels. Oh no, AEW fans bullied, or wrestling fans bullied Brandi Rhodes to delete her Twitter. Spin factor.
I mean, that could be true. That could be not be true. I don't know. I don't see her Twitter feed.
But that's, I'm just saying. The headline is now, they changed the headline. It's what AEW is great at. They changed the headline. That's all.
Oh, I know. But, and blaming wrestling fans is not going to go over well for them. I mean, here's the thing. If you just left it alone, if you just let it pass, probably in 48 hours or so, upwards of 72, it probably would have passed. And nobody would really care. Because all it's going to take is the next big story to break, and then nobody's going to care. Getting back to it, she has options. She can delete the app off her phone. She can delete her Twitter permanently or semi-permanently. She can deactivate it. TNT has social media managers,
which is what the Bucks hired.
You can find a social media manager, and you can pay somebody to deal with that shit for you. If you don't want to deal with it, if you don't want to see the comments and the criticism and everything else, you can pay somebody to handle that for you. It's not that expensive. There are actually companies that marketing, depending on what their marketing company does for them, which I don't know who handles their marketing, they could probably have their marketing company deal with it for them if they really wanted to, or you can hire somebody externally, which is, I think, what the Bucks did. You can get a social media manager and they can take care of that for you. And then you can still manage your Twitter, you can still run your Twitter, but they can kind of get rid of that and sort of put all of that off to the side and make sure that you don't necessarily have to see it firsthand and deal with it.
To answer your question, Fleischmann Hillard. This is a PR company that handles their stuff.
Put that in our chat. I want to look them up.
Okay.
So there's that. Or she has a verified tab. She doesn't necessarily have to even see all of the criticism. She can just read what's in her verified tab. And I'm sure it's in there too. Like, I'm sure she can't get away from it, but you don't have to read everybody's comments. You don't have to read everybody's tweets. You can limit on Twitter who can reply to your tweets mm-hmm. and your comments. Mm-hmm. You can turn all that off.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just tweet stuff out. I think you can mute mentions.
You can.
Like, you can manage all of that so you don't have to deal with it. Like, Twitter is one of the most proactive apps out there in terms of dealing with online bullying and online harassment and everything else. And it's like, if you won't see it, they'll take care of that for you. You don't have to see it. You can turn all that shit off. That's what Renee Young does. Renee Young has her stuff locked down, I think, on Instagram. I don't know about Twitter. She did for a while on Twitter. On Instagram, though, hers is like completely locked down. You can't comment on anything that she does.
Yeah.
Because she was getting so much hate for a long time about marrying Dean Ambrose, and the fangirls went after her, that she just like muted everything and turned everything off. So you can't send her that because she didn't want to deal with it. Brandi can do the same thing.
Yep.
So I can't criticize her for deleting it because everybody handles everything differently. And if she felt like that was an appropriate course of action for her in terms of dealing with everything, then good on her for taking care of her mental health. I just don't think it's the best decision because essentially you're letting the trolls win. They bullied you off. Congratulations, they got you off of Twitter.
Yep.
They got what they wanted. There are other, you know, if she ever decides to come back to Twitter, are ways that she can handle it.
Which you probably will a day or two.
So, I don't know. I mean, all in all, it's a difficult story. It's a challenging story. The concept was there. The execution is not. So we'll just have to see where this goes and see how everything is kind of washes out. But yeah, it's there. It's a thing. That's a honeycomb pillow. Anyway, we're going to take our first break of the evening because we actually have two. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about Raw and the wonderfulness that happened. No, we are going to be talking about Raw. We're going to be talking about all the fuckery that happened on Raw because I just can't even fake that. And I'll be screaming about Bray Wyatt too, because I'd rather talk about Bray Wyatt. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Did you know you can use support the creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/rackradioshow.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins, and you're listening to the Rack Radio Show. Something in your eyes lets me see right through you.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second and you happen to have a Twitch Prime sub available, you can use that here for free. You can subscribe for 30 days, no money. It's awesome. All you got to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and check that out and subscribe. And if you want to subscribe the regular way below or just hang out, we're happy to have you because everybody here is welcome. And this is the second segment of the show. We're actually doing a 3-segment show because I was gone for 10 days. So, yeah, things happened. And
we're going to talk about them.
We're going to talk about them. And just to kind of follow up about what we were talking about before the break, in terms of the social media management for AEW, that could absolutely be handled by their marketing agency. I looked them up. So, yeah, that could be
arranged
if they wanted it to.
They're good. I get daily emails from whenever they send things.
Yeah, they do nice work.
They do. Anyway, let's get into Monday Night Raw, which means I have to hit this.
It is time for this week's Raw reaction.
Yowie wowie!
How bored were you that you made that?
We had that from a year ago.
Why do we have that?
Because the last time you went on vacation, we needed to talk about Raw. Actually, this was back in from November, the last time we did this segment, Raw reaction.
Okay. All right.
We have stuff. We have bumpers.
We have way too much. All right.
I don't think we have enough.
Well, you're the one that makes it, so you know you
exactly.
can take care of that.
I'm working on it.
All right. Let's talk about this cluster.
Let's go underground.
Okay, so there was a lot of buzz around this Raw because it got announced that Shane McMahon was coming back. It got announced that there was a new faction debuting. It got announced that there was this crazy wild idea that they had that was going to involve strippers and everything else
and all this fun stuff. Fun fact: there was going to be a post show Monday, a solo post show Monday. When all the hype came out, I sat here going, if this is really good, I'm going to go on air and talk about it live by myself. Chat, was there a show Monday? No.
So, and I'm going to preface this by saying that I was not in the best place Monday night. Just, it had been a bad day for me, and I was not in a good place when I watched this show. So, I have little doubt that had some impact, right, on me and my opinion of the show. But you're hearing the rumors and you're watching everything play out and you're like, okay, all right, well, this could be interesting, this should be cool. And I actually like stepped away to watch this show because I was genuinely curious, like everybody else. It's like
they hyped it.
Yeah, they did. They put the marketing machine to work and they hyped the shit out of this, and everybody was really curious and really wanted to check it out. And so watching the show, everything's plugging away. We're getting the little teasers about the underground, about the new faction. You know, we're seeing like the lights go out. We see the big ninja dude. Kenneth? Is his name Kenneth?
No.
What was his name?
I forget. I don't think it was Kenneth.
Big ninja man.
Anyway, by the way, going back on one thing, you said the lights going out. You know, when a power outage goes out, they don't fade. You can No, legitimately, if your power goes out, because that happened to me on Monday.
Shush!
No,
shush
no,
your
no, no,
face!
No, because I had no power Monday. So,
they tried!
You could just hit the power
Everything
off button.
Everything on this show to criticize, and you're gonna criticize how
yes.
they faked power outage.
Yes, because it faded. It should not fade. It should go all the way out with one button. Don't pull the lever and go with a fade. Just hit the button.
It could be all they have.
They have a production truck with a power on and off button.
Do they?
Yes.
Do they?
But they made sure it faded. Like, it went in stages. That's not how it works.
Look, they did the Fiend stuff, okay? They did it how they do the Fiend entrance.
Just hit the power button.
Probably reset up.
Just hit the power button. Turn it off and on.
Anyway.
It was taped. They could have fixed it.
There were fake power outages.
Crappy ones.
That disagrees with. Because you disagree over a power outage.
Hey, when I was sitting in without power for 8 hours, that's the only thing you think of. I know how a power outage works.
Oh my god. Anyway. Trying to get this back on the rails. And he's
really? Like, you just ran there for 15 minutes. I can't go off on the rails for 5 seconds.
About a power button?
It's a power button. Hey.
15 minutes about a power button?
I could go on 15 minutes about a power button. Here's the thing. I ran into Tim about this the other day when it happened too. Said that same comment. Anyway, continue. Hey, chat. You want Wrestle Talk Radio on Sunday? Tweet Tim ideas of what you want them to talk about. At Flamestorms.
Dang.
Seriously, if there's a topic you want to discuss, anything. Could be the best TV show ever. Tweet him.
Llamas.
If you want Tim to talk about llamas, at Flamestorms.
I made a very cute llama while I was away.
We saw that. Follow her on Twitter, at Lindsward. You can see the pictures.
Anyway, so...
Rails. We're getting back on.
We're going to get this show back on the rails. Because part of the reason why we're doing this is because I'm awake, so I can actually talk about Raw as opposed to being half asleep when we normally talk about it. So, this show... And they had said at 10 p.m. the Underground was going to kick off, right? And nobody really knew what the Underground was. Nobody
Hold on. Here's the funny thing. It came on at 9:56.
Get to that. God.
I have opinions. Let's go.
Well, if you would let me get through this, you can get to the face. Shush.
Ooh, shiny.
Anyway, so it was scheduled for 10. It came on 4 minutes early, and I...
They had performance issues. They came early.
They were just a little excited.
Shane McMahon was too excited. He came early.
Go figure. So, all right. So, we get to 10. The rest of the show was a show. It was there. There was a lot of shenanigans that happened in the start of the show. We had a good match between Apollo Crews and MVP. where the United States Championship was finally decided and Apollo Crews got to walk away with the title. There were other shenanigans involving the 24/7 title. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, and that's really all that's standing out from the first hour of Raw. And then we get to the Underground, right? So there's this huge buzz and we see Shane, and Shane's standing there in this dimly lit environment, and there's a ring with no ropes. It's just the ring that they have in the back with no ropes and a bunch of NXT wrestlers around it. And then we see two guys just fighting, just beating the crap out of each other in the middle of the ring. And I'm sitting there looking at this going, it's fucking Fight Club. It's Fight Club. The only difference is you can talk about it. That's it. It's Fight Club. That's what it is. That's what the Underground is. Is it's different wrestlers, male, although I don't think we saw any women.
Well, we saw women.
We saw women. They were in the crowd, and then we had the strippers, or dancers, however you would like to call them.
They were dancers to enhance the entertainment.
I'm gonna get to that. they were there, but you saw all the guys basically fighting and beating the crap out of each other. And anybody can challenge anybody. It's an open environment. If you have issues, if you have beef, you can just fight. It's unsanctioned. They do actually have a ref for reasons. I don't know why. But there's a ref there, I guess, to make sure you don't kill each other.
It's sanctioned fights with no rules.
It's Fight Club, okay? I want to know when TNA, circa 2003, and UFC Bang, because that's what this is. This is the bastard child of that. I was waiting for like old school AMW or the Naturals or Dana White to show up, because it's like, what is this?
LeMans, he was there just for the food, for the catering. He wasn't there for the entertainment. Anyway, continue.
Well, I mean, he could have been there for the entertainment.
No, no. The thing is, he left. Lou Williams is a basketball player. He left the bubble, and because of family stuff, ended up at a strip club. But he was only there for the food.
The food. There are multiple things edible at a strip club if you're brave enough. Anyway, one she says. So this proceeded to go through the night. Or the last hour of Raw, where we would cut back and forth between the regular show and the Fight Club.
So, one, NXT really has big, beefy dudes.
Yeah, they grow big in NXT.
Number two, the concept is not bad. Watching dudes beat on other dudes and then having women beat on other women would be a fun, novel concept. This was just done poorly.
Yeah, the execution was kind of lacking, because here's the deal. Like, they're like, it's going to come on at 10. So you had to deal with the first 2 hours of Raw, which was not wonderful. It wasn't terrible.
Which was WWE going, hey, we have 17 ideas. We're going to throw them all at you.
Yeah, so...
Which one sticks?
And there was still no appearance by the mysterious group. No, it all happened. In the first 2 hours. They didn't show up in the first 2 hours.
Well, the thing was in the third hour.
So... You have the Fight Club going on in the back. You're cutting back and forth between the regular show and the Fight Club. Somewhere along the way, Montez Ford got poisoned. I'm not sure how that even happened. Bianca Belair tried to kill Zelina Vega. I am interested in that. You're going to have Zelina and Bianca go? Okay, all right. I'm here for that. Zelina looked amazing, by the way. Bianca looked amazing, by the way. But yeah, it's like Bianca comes out of the trainer's room and she starts taking her earrings off, and it's like, oh hell, somebody's about to die. Mom's not playing. She's about to whoop somebody. And it was Zelina Vega. And then it took all of the men's to tear them apart. Speaking of the men, speaking of Angel Garza, they're having Angel Garza be a hoe.
Yeah.
Just got married. It gets announced on the internet and they're having him be a literal hoe.
With the bachelorette chick.
With the bachelorette chick and with Charlie, I have no words. Can we not have Angel Garza be a hoe? Can we just not?
He's a hoe.
So we have all that going on in the third hour, right? And there's still this group that's promised, right?
Mm-hmm.
The prince that was promised, the group, right? This group that's going to go outside the lines and be against the rules and the company and the establishment and down with the man. And does this sound familiar to anybody? Because it sure as hell sounds like sanity to me.
I thought Nation of the... Oh, wait.
Anyway. And by the way, they have nothing, they have in no way are inspired or connected to the protesters that are out there right now.
No political ties of this retribution.
Even though they kind of resemble it. Anyway, so finally in the third hour of Raw, we get the group. In quotations, where they show up and they throw Molotov cocktails, which I'll admit was creative. It's been a long time since somebody's whipped out a Molotov cocktail on wrestling. I think that might actually be the first time.
Can I say something?
Yes.
If you're going to do a bit, hide the power cable. Hide the cable that's just connected straight to the boxes.
And so then they proceed to set, I guess it's supposed to be the generator?
I guess.
But they cut back,
I think. I don't know. It was weird.
So I don't know if that was footage from earlier, and that was what caused the power outage. It wasn't really a power outage, because they faded it, and they got it back on running, which I'm not sure how they got it back on running, because it was set on fire. Anyway, storytelling issues. Then your main event was the Raw Underground, which, by the way, they had Dolph Ziggler there, and if they want to put Dolph Ziggler in there, I'm kind of okay with that. Because the one thing I did like was the fact that they had Ziggler like in there, like scrapping it out.
Viking Raiders were cool in there, too.
Viking Raiders look very cool in there, too. That's a very good environment for them to be in. But the main event was basically Bobby Lashley and the Hurt Business showed up and beat up some people.
Oh, poor Dio Madden.
Oh, yeah, Dio Madden. Oh, my God. Was that necessary to do to him? He did not deserve that.
His first appearance back on Raw after leaving. His last appearance was he got his ass kicked by Brock. Now he gets in there and gets beat up by Lashley.
So, I will say that this is a really good application for Lashley.
Not MVP.
This is a perfect place for him to be.
Not MVP.
Not MVP, okay? And to a lesser extent, not Shelton Benjamin. I think Shelton could hold his own.
He's a wrestler. He could be the Ziggler type, the wrestler, yeah.
But in terms of just getting in there and beating somebody up, that's Lashley to a T. He's tailor-made for this environment. And I think if he went into that, he would be really, really good. It would be a great application for him. But having the whole group in there and having, like, MVP beat people up, which, again, no offense to MVP, why are they making MVP a thing as a wrestler in 2020?
Very good question.
Why are we doing this?
Him leading a bunch of dudes, great.
Yeah, him leading the faction, him being the mouthpiece, him being the manager. I'm completely on board for that because I think he is highly skilled at that. And I'm not trying to take away anything from his wrestling. But there are a lot of other people that could be taking that spot as a wrestler, and I'm not sure why he's wrestling, other than it just works, which if they want to do that, that's fine, but it was really awkward that you had MVP in the Underground trying to hold his own because he did not look his best. Same thing with when he was fighting Cruz. He did not look his best. He wasn't bad. He just did not look wonderful. He's not as agile as he used to be. So that's kind of creating some problems and it's just a disconnect. But that's how basically Raw ended, was the Hurt Business standing tall over the Underground and basically saying, I think them saying they own the Underground or something like that.
Yeah.
So this show felt like, I have to take my glasses off for this. This show felt like a group project where four people worked on it separately and then they mashed it together and presented it and were basically like, we tried.
That is exactly what happened, because there was a lot of creative influx on this show. Vince McMahon was not happy with a lot of things. The only thing really agreed upon going into the show was Raw Underground, because they made that decision on Wednesday of Shane McMahon's return. So that's number one. There were a couple good things. Randy Orton is doing his best work. Flat out, Randy Orton is doing his best work. There were some issues with Drew McIntyre and Kim cutting his promo and talking about Randy Orton not lending, you know, his ear to young talent. I'm just going to say legacy. We skipped over Cody Rhodes. Understandably, we skipped over Cody Rhodes in the promo, but legacy was a thing. He took Ted and Cody under his wing for a good little bit.
Just for a long time.
Yeah. So that was a positive from the show. We also learned that Dominic is getting in the ring at SummerSlam to face Seth Rollins. Samoa Joe was going to whoop somebody.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. I need Joe to get cleared because I need him to whoop like some bitches' asses. Like, now.
Samoa Joe was great on this show.
I need my Samoa Joe title reign. I need it.
Shayna Baszler being a heel and a face at the same time. Kind of weird. She's supporting Asuka, but at the same time wants to kick her ass. Kind of weird. So there's that.
What is it? The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Something like that. So there's that whole situation. And the whole Nia Jax stuff is dumb. Just write her off television. Never bring her back.
Okay, can we talk about that for a second?
We can, but I don't want to, but we can.
No, I want to... Why did you have Pat Buck do that? Does Pat Buck have that authority?
Apparently.
I'm confused.
He's WWE management, so yes, he has that authority, since there is no authority. There's no Regal on the show.
Well, one, why doesn't Regal have authority? And two, couldn't Mom do a Zoom call? She did it before.
This was below her pay grade. You didn't pay her enough to show up on the Zoom call.
This segment just left me really confused as to why they did this. I'm not sure why they're writing Nia Jax off TV for a while. Like, I hope everything is okay with her physically, mentally. I mean, could she be? She's just going home because of COVID.
I think injuries are a big part of it. Call me crazy, but when you have two knee surgeries, yep, and you're a bigger person.
I mean, I hope she's okay. Like, I do hope she's okay. I wish her no ill will, but this was just like they wrote her off TV, and it's like, but she just came back.
We'll see if she's written off TV. It sounds like a write-off, but who knows?
I mean, it's acting like a write-off, but also, and this is going to sound really mean, and I'm sorry that this sounds really mean, but how much foundation did she have on her face?
Because it got all over Pat Buck's shirt.
Like, there was a smear Pat Buck's shirt. A gigantic cheek smear on Pat Buck's shirt. Noticeable.
Lindsay went, what's on his shirt? And I was like, yeah. Makeup?
Yeah, I'm like sitting here, or I was sitting where I was staying, and I'm watching this. And granted, I'm watching it on a laptop screen, so it's a smaller screen. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, and they keep showing it, and I'm like, why is his shirt so dirty? Did he walk out there and not, like, throw a suit coat on and, like, not wash his shirt? Like, what is going on with that? And then I finally got a good look at it. I'm like, oh, that's makeup. Oh, wow. How much foundation did they have on her? Because it just, like, smeared all over his shirt.
It did.
So, I mean, again, I hope she's okay physically. I hope she's okay mentally. I don't think she's been doing her best work at late. I will say that. And if it's to Shayna's benefit that Shayna's going to get pushed, I'm kind of okay with that as well. Not really at the expense of Nia, but if we're getting more variety, and I feel like, honestly, no offense to Nia, Shayna is the stronger heel of the two. I'm okay with all this. So this show just, I think my mood had a lot to do with it, but this was not a good show for me. I didn't necessarily really.
Show was long.
It felt long. It dragged. It was not really that entertaining. It felt very disjointed for me. And I hate saying that it wasn't entertaining, because I feel like a lot of people put a huge amount of effort into the show like they do every week. So it's always painful to say, yeah, you know, F this, this didn't entertain me. Because they tried their best, right? They tried their hardest and they're working with what they have. But this show just was like, I was actually sitting there. I'm like, I could be watching something else right now. Why am I still watching this? I'm not doing a post show on it. Why am I watching this?
Okay. I have one more pass because I want to move on to SmackDown really quick. Kevin Owens, Peacemaker. He brought the Riot Squad back together.
That was amazing.
That was awesome.
That was a really good segment on the show, was just Kevin Owens and the Riot Squad. And how he fixed all that, because Kevin Owens got slapped around by the women.
He did. It was awesome.
He got slapped by both Iconics, because he's like trying to get in between him. He's like, no, don't fight, don't fight. And both Iconics slap him, and he's like, proceed.
Just gonna get out of your way now. Just, girls, just do the thing.
Just go ahead. And, just y'all go ahead.
Ruby lighting up when Liv mentioned starting a riot.
That was perfect. I'm like, oh, yay, they're back together. Yay! Woo! Good call. Very good call.
So, that's Raw. We have one thing of SmackDown to talk about, but before we get to SmackDown, we gotta do this.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown. Showdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
So, The Fiend has set his course, for a certain young lady on SmackDown, one Alexa Bliss. You remember Sister Abigail in that cameo during the Wyatt Swamp fight.
I'm so pissed I missed this live. I am so completely pissed I missed this live. I was so upset. You guys just don't even know. Y'all just don't even know how just absolutely pissed off I was. Because, like, I'm sitting there at 10 o'clock, my phone starts blowing up because people are like, did you see what Bray did? Did you see what he did? And I'm like, what did he do? Because I'm out of town. And they're like, he murdered Alexa Bliss. And I'm like, what?
My comment to her was, oh shit. She goes, what? I said, the Fiend happened. The Fiend went after Alexa Bliss. And he did hand stuff with Alexa Bliss.
He fingered her.
He did.
So the show opens with Bray basically saying that the Fiend is awake and the Fiend is not going to be satisfied until he gets what he wants. That was the gist of what Bray said.
Mm-hmm.
But much more wacky because it was Funhouse Bray, which you can open SmackDown with Bray Wyatt every week and I would be fine with that.
The 1 week she's not watching.
The one goddamn week I'm not watching and he's at the top of the show. And the rest of SmackDown happened because I'm going to be completely honest. I have not watched the rest of SmackDown yet. I have
that's
not had time.
That's not what we're here for. We're just here for the Bray Wyatt stuff.
Yeah, I'm here for the stuff I have seen, which is Bray Wyatt. Anyway, so at the end of the show, Nikki is in a match. Alexa tries to help her. Nikki loses. They have a little tiff because Nikki is blinded by gold. All she sees is gold. All she wants is gold. And it's costing her for a friendship with Alexa. So she pushes Alexa away and she leaves. And Alexa's sitting there hurt, considering her options, trying to figure out what to do. And then the lights go out. And then eerie music begins to play. And then the lights come back up. And she's bathed in a red light. And she looks terrified. Like she's trapped in a nightmare and all you see behind her is a black and red striped leg.
He's here.
He's here. And the Fiend circles Alexa Bliss and she looks up at him in horror. And this was so well executed. This was so well done. This was fantastic TV. And he kneels down next to her and he kind of sort of puts his fingers together and starts to circle his hand. And she's like, no, 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 I don't want it. No. No, and she's petrified with fear, but she's, you know, basically lightly shaking her head as she stares at his hand as it inches towards her.
He moves it all around, twirls it around.
Torments her with it, and then finally he lays in the mandible claw, and he lays it in, and he lays her out, and she just struggles under him as, I think, his haunting laughter fills
yep.
the room.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how SmackDown ends. This was so well done. So well done. I love everything about this. Number one, props to Bray, props to Alexa for this. I love if you go back and watch it, how absolutely gentle he is with her while making it look completely vicious. Like it looked so just like he was going to kill her and then he's just completely gentle with her the whole way. I love that you have the Fiend interacted with a female character, that you did it this way. I know that there were a lot of mixed reactions to this. I think for the most part it was positive. To me, this is good because what the Fiend is trying to do is the Fiend is trying to draw Braun Strowman back out because we have not seen Braun Strowman since the Swamp match. Nobody knows where he is. So the Fiend is trying to draw Braun Strowman out. Now, what this means for Alexa Bliss, I don't know. There are a lot of rumors circulating that she's going to turn heel. She's going to join Bray Wyatt. She's going to become Sister Abigail. I don't know. She could. She entirely could. People are forever changed when they encounter the Fiend, so we'll see what he does to her. I mean, for all he know, he could revert her back to Sparkle Bliss.
Yeah, that would be cool for one night.
Like, he sends her back. But yeah, this was fantastic. I loved everything about this. I'm still pissed I didn't get to see it live.
This was really good. It was really good content. For SmackDown. Everything else on SmackDown was what it was. We're also teasing a Nikki Alexa thing, so. And it was Nikki's fault that she was left alone, too. So she may be very apologetic on SmackDown. We'll have to.
I mean, honestly, if this is how you're going to break Nikki and Alexa up, I would hate that you break that duo up. But at the same time, if you're going to do it, I feel like this is a really good way to do that.
It's a nice catalyst for something. So we'll have to see. But yeah, it was SmackDown. That's the best I can say. So hopefully there's good stuff. Apparently Bray returns to the Funhouse tomorrow on SmackDown to do things.
What's interesting, and I miss this and curse him for his references, is that when he was feuding with The Miz, he produces a little blonde and blue-eyed dolly with a Fiend mask on it. And everybody's like, oh my god, it's Liv Morgan. It's Liv Morgan. Oh my god, it's Liv Morgan. And then Liv Morgan never materialized on SmackDown.
Nope.
And it's like, well, they missed that opportunity, you know, and they botched that. And everybody kind of forgot about this little dolly. So the Alexa Bliss things happened. And one of the things that you should note is Alexa was wearing this black spiked, like silver spiked with little spikes shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She's wearing that. Somebody went back and found that picture of the doll. Doll is wearing a black shirt with silver dots on it.
Nice.
Covered in what looks like blood with the fiend mask and the hair. And I'm sitting there looking at it and I'm like, motherfucker. I hate that man and his references so much. I hate him so much because he's so good at it. It's like the little touches, the little things that it could have been entirely coincidental, right? Like entirely coincidental.
And probably was.
It probably was, and it probably wasn't. It could be. It could be a crazy random happenstance that she just happened to wear that shirt that day, and it just happened to line up to the doll. But something tells me it's not. Just because he has such an attention to detail like that, that I could see him being like, okay, can you wear, like, because she's worn it before on TV.
That's her normal getup. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, hey, can you wear this? Because it'll line up to this. And she probably was like, sure.
Yeah, she's game.
So yeah, this was so good. I kind of almost wish they would just give Bray his own show at this point. Just take like an hour off Raw and give it to Bray Wyatt. Just make it the Fiend show. It's fine.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
It's completely fine.
So with that, that's SmackDown Throwdown. We were going to take a break, but we're not.
Oh, we're just going to go straight through?
We're going to go straight through.
All right. Tweet of the week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty. So, Tim the Tatman.
You're...
I'm not exaggerating when I say that my power just came back on and now my stream PC won't boot up. Cloaksy. Can't wait to go live!
You're...
And later that day, and then the night before he tweeted out, power just went out, followed that up with still no luck, gonna call it a day, and then he plugs his video. So poor Tim. Poor Tim and his saga with his power. Rock feels his pain.
Yeah, yeah. That was a Monday.
North is having problems right now with her power. Dr. Lupo. Hey!
Lupo, man.
Hashtag ad, by the way. You trying to hear the bleep out of some video games? Well, if you want to use the ones I do on stream, but wireless, that's a thing now. And he puts the links to the headset. And Tim Havelock, aka Darkness429, responds, do they by any chance help with hearing teammates frantically scream that it's them asking for a friend? Chipotle, who wants free guac for a year? Dr. Lupo, I love you. Chipotle responds with a Harrison Ford gif, I know. Renee Young, John just made me PayPal him $3 to walk to the fridge and get me another Bud Light seltzer.
Yeah.
You gotta make that money. Courage JD. So Marcel, yo, we did that Peloton ride, but I just ate an entire chicken parmesan and that pasta is so, I think it's supposed to be thick, it got canceled out.
That would do it.
Marcel responds, Jesus Christ, 45 minutes tomorrow. Dan Rather, perhaps Donald Trump doesn't like the Postal Service because it delivers. WWE on Fox. The members of this new rumored faction arriving on Raw will be ... Rob Schomburger. Rey Mysterio's eye and Mae Young's hand. He took his shot. Tim the Tatman. Who else is excited for season 5 tomorrow? Dr. Lupo. I'm at half mast. Tim responds, bro? Dr. Lupo. I just love video games, Tim. Darkness429 responds, I know. Dr. Lupo goes, wait, who posted this? And finally, John Rogers. Hurt God and Thailand are trending. What the hell is going on?
Yeah.
So... there you go. That's Tweet of the Week.
Okay, so I get to go now?
Mm-hmm.
Style Bender. I'm tweeting this so it goes on TV. WWE Fox, we had a wrestling joke, but it got a smackdown. Cesaro goes, reminds me of a few years back, I was in catering trying to go back to the table, back to my table. Dwayne Johnson was in the way, so I turned around, but there was the Hitman. I was stuck between a rock and a heart place. Eric from the Viking Raiders. Dear Autocorrect, never in the history of my entire texting career have I meant to type duck yes. Thank you.
I'm going to second that. Apple, can you please just teach your phones curse words? Thank you.
Sasha Banks breaking. Triple H's birthday is officially canceled. Moving forward, July 27th will now be known as Two Belts, hashtag Two Belts Banks Day, the day the legit CEO took over the entire company. Run me my check. Philadelphia Flyers. Per sources, for the first time in Flyers history, no one yelled shoot from the crowd during our power play. Well, that's true, because, hey, TJ Wilson's on Cameo. Did you know that?
Is he?
Yeah. Now he's going to book him. She goes, I'm going to book you, TJ Wilson. I need you to explain to me how to work our TV set. Mika Rotunda. Gym rule. If you stare longer than 3 seconds, I will stare back. And when I say stare back, I mean make direct eye contact and not look away until you do.
And just saying the creepy glare, she has the creepy glare. She can do it.
Randy Orton, playing GTA with my 12-year-old, Alana. Yeah, I know. Father, hashtag father of the year. He refused to steal a car or run a red light, though. So I must be doing something right. Haha. Kansas City Royals. Wow, an entire section of John Cena cutouts. Hashtag always royal. Because you couldn't see the faces on the pictures. Because you can't see them. Malcolm Blevins, that Scream 5 script is ass. Okay, I'm mad because they asked me to audition for the role of the brother who trips in the woods. Darren Ravel. Jose Banks has filed for bankruptcy. I'm guessing it's now buy one, get 10 suits for free.
Really?
Yeah. Miro, formerly Rusev. If Twitch was like wrestling, I'm due to invade Nick Merckx's home and play from his PC. Make that connection happen. That would be great.
That would be awesome. If Miro can find his way to the big streamers, I would be on board for that.
Mm-hmm. Wale, I'm trying to host Ellen for a week. Renee Young, please do this. I'll be your PA. I'll get us good snacks.
Renee Young wants a daytime show. Can we make that happen?
Wally goes, they could honestly pay me in snacks then. Renee Young, well, I feel good about this deal. Let's fax them an offer. WWE and Fox tweeted, the members of the new rumored faction arriving on Raw will be... Rich Eisen showed goes, Rodney, Shane O'Mac, Joey Avs, Peak Ass, the return of the Mean Street Posse. Ryan Reynolds, I am not playing Hawkman in Black Adam, although I generally do whatever... the hell The Rock tells me to do. I would, however, love to be in the Zack Snyder's Justice League movie, and I've heard I may already be in it. The Rock, you're playing Hawkman, and that's that. You're also Deadpool, Green Lantern, when you want, because you own the intellectual property. You're in the Zack Snyder JL movie, and you're also Kevin Hart's real dad, like in real life, as per your blood test.
Nice.
So hey y'all, guess what? Ninja was back on Twitch. Super early stream plan within 14 hours of super success on Twitch with Dr. Lupo. I really missed this. Also, just hit affiliate. Whips. Oh my god, congrats on finally getting affiliate. Ghost BZ TTV. Lupo, you said I had 6 days of him not being affiliate. No! Wildcat, congrats on affiliate. You're going to blow up someday. Man, keep grinding. Twitch, it was nice seeing you around. Heart. This one's for Brent. Tegan Knox. People who camp on COD are the same people who put milk in the bowl before cereal. Angry emojis. Daniel Bryan. I would love to do a match with The Rock based solely on how many times my daughter has made me listen to You're Welcome. And then, of course, it's stuck in my head and I sing it all day. The Rock. I can see the writing on the wall on this wall from miles away. I'll be jobbing again in the spirit of being a girl dad. Let's do it. Congrats, brother, on the new arrival. We're thrilled for you, Mama B, and the fam.
What I loved about these two tweets... was that after that, wrestling headlines everywhere were like, oh my god, Daniel Bryan wants to face The Rock!
No, it was better. The Rock agrees to fight Daniel Bryan. Paul Tassi goes, guess we gotta elect Dr. Disrespect president. He continues, in case something bad comes out later, let me be clear, this is a joke. My actual gamer president endorsement is Lupo. Lupo goes, hashtag Lupo2020. NXT.
Alright!
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
Talk about the end first.
But we should start with the okay.
Because the ending was really like the big part of this.
No, before we get to the ending, before we get there, Dexter Lumis.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Poor Dexter. Just picked him in fantasy too.
He'll be fine. All right, let's talk about the ending. The thing that's been building on the, oh my god, is it a work? Is it a shoot? I cannot believe it. Oh my god.
So, tensions. We'll call them tensions, have been building between Pat Buck and Adam Cole now for a while, where they've been going after each other. They curse each other out on Pat Buck's show.
Oh my god. Oh my god, it's a shoot. Oh my god. They really hate each other, brother.
And they've done a wonderful job with this. So it all comes to a head last night where Pat Buck is out doing
Pac-Man.
or I'm sorry, Pat McAfee. I don't know why I keep saying Pat Buck. Pat McAfee, sorry. They've been building this. He's out there doing commentary, right? Out there doing his thing. Yeah, Money's own business.
It's Undisputed Era versus Imperium for the tag titles.
And Adam Cole's out there.
Of course he is.
Undisputed Era, by the way, loses. Adam Cole and McAfee get into it.
Preface this. They made up earlier in the day.
And then they get back into it. To the point that Sean and Hunter come out to sort of break up this fight between the two of them because it gets extremely heated. And one thing leads to another, and essentially Adam Cole gets punted in the face by McAfee and dropped right in front of Hunter and Sean.
Wait. The former punter punted someone?
I know.
Wow, what a devastating maneuver.
So anyway, so he drops Adam Cole right in front of his parents. Sean is comforting Adam, checking on him to make sure he's okay, and Hunter is livid and pissed. And that's how NXT goes off the air, is with this whole thing going. So today, I'm sorry, I'm going to make fun of this. Hunter made a challenge to McAfee to face Adam Cole at TakeOver.
Okay, so Hunter went on to give some details on the backstory. Hunter went on ESPN's Get Up with Mike Greenberg to make this challenge. So he went on ESPN to do it.
And I have to laugh at this because essentially Adam had the equivalent of his father go on TV and make the challenge for him. Which I now ask the question, so does that make Shawn Michaels the mom?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, he is the one who did the photo shoot.
He is, yeah. Just to be clear, Hunter and Shawn co-parent Adam Cole.
Yeah, clearly.
He's the favorite son.
Clearly.
So, I have to laugh at this. So, basically, it's now been made for TakeOver, where it's Pat McAfee versus Adam Cole. This is a really good angle. This was a really good segment. I enjoyed this immensely.
But
the dad thing kind of cheapens it a little bit. Because I was like, wait, why are Hunter and Sean... I mean, it's like, it's always cool to see Hunter and Sean, but it's like, why are Hunter and Sean coming out and breaking this up?
It's fine they broke it up. Hunter didn't need to go on television on ESPN to make the challenge. Or at the very least, he should have had Adam Cole with him to make the challenge.
Yeah, the fact that you basically hid behind your dad and you let your dad make the challenge is a little cheap.
But Hunter's the bigger star than Adam Cole, so it makes sense why they did it that way, and they got ESPN to play along with it, which for TakeOver 30 is a big deal. It's you have celebrity involvement. It's the first of its kind. It works. Pat McAfee has been involved with the NXT brand for about a year and a half now. He's probably been around the PC, so he probably knows a little bit about what's going on. He's an athlete, even though he's a punter. So the idea of the match, and I know people will say, oh, that's gonna suck and yada yada yada. You don't know. Pat's gonna take it seriously. You're gonna have Undisputed Era probably there running interference. Pat will probably have people. He'll probably have a crew with him. So there'll be a lot of smoke and mirrors. It won't be the greatest TakeOver match of all time. But guess what? There's no crowd. They're just going to have the NXT audience in there to do a thing.
After Adam Cole has carried that brand on his shoulders for over a year, that poor man needs something easy. So they're giving him something easy to do, which is Pat McAfee.
Right. And you couldn't get the full Imperium here because you could have been on the Speed of Air versus Imperium, the full thing. But Walter is over in the UK. He can't get over here. You could see Undisputed Era turn on him. This sort of was a babyface move for Adam Cole, the way it was done. Pat will promote the hell out of this, so that one should garner some interest. And overall, it's not the worst idea they've ever had.
It's interesting. It's different. Because let's all be real. Adam Cole has faced everybody he can face in NXT. There's nobody there for him to really challenge. And like you said, there are people that they cannot get into the United States right now because of COVID and everything else that's going on. So they're running with what they've got, which is they're going to have Adam Cole face Pat McAfee. Because, again, why not, right? Like, why not? You can do it as an opener. You can do it as a cooldown match. And you just throw Adam out there and it'll be fine.
Probably be the third match on the show is sort of the big middle match.
Yeah, it's like you make it all about Keith Lee because it's going to be all about Keith Lee anyway.
And Karrion Kross.
And Karrion Kross. That's going to be your marquee match. But you want to have Adam Cole on there for sure. So this is just something easy for him to do. Something light. It'd probably be something very fun. And just go with it. Yeah. I don't see anything wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with it. A couple of notes. Speaking of NXT Takeover, we have a number one contender for the women's championship. That's Dakota Kai. After her and Rhea Ripley had a hell of a match.
Oh my god, it was so good.
They had a hell of a match.
Mercedes, I wouldn't mind seeing that again, honestly.
Mercedes got involved at the end. which is what we all kind of expected to happen. Dakota got the win. She's now moving on to TakeOver. It was awesome.
There you go.
We're trying to build up Bronson Reed. He beat Shane Thorne. Simple and easy.
Yep.
The news, the faction Legado de Fantasma, they beat up Breezango on the show and made a mission statement. That was good. Good stuff all around. Damian Priest is headed to TakeOver in the ladder match for the North America Championship. That was good. He beat Lorcan and Ridge Hollins.
In a fun match.
Fun little match they had. Tegan Knox beat Indy Hartwell. Solid little match. Got
Tegan looked good.
Tegan got on the show. Get a rebound after a couple of losses. So it was nice. We had Keith Lee and Cameron Grimes. Solid match.
It was good. Again, I want to know more about Cameron Grimes, but they're not going to give us more. But I like how they're steadily building him up and building him as something. So that's good.
So, Karrion was shown, he appeared and then showed he laid out people.
Okay, can I just talk about how well done this was? Because this was just beautiful. I don't know if they're having the same person do Bray Wyatt and Karrion Kross, but whoever's doing this is just, I love you. So the way that they did it is they had Scarlett talking and then it cut to Karrion backstage and he's really tight in the camera. It's black and white. It's dark. It's ominous. They've got all the lights down around Keith Lee and he's just spotlighted, right? And so Karrion's talking and he's cutting this incredible promo. And then you just see this guy that he's got that he essentially finishes off.
I was Oni Lorcan, I think.
Yeah. It was hard to tell because it was really close. But he lays him out. And as he walks away, you see how he's laid waste because you just see bodies laying everywhere backstage. And his shirt's all ripped up and everything's kind of destroyed and messed up. And yeah, it's just, this was the perfect way to do Karrion Kross. He doesn't necessarily need to be beating people up, but if you show him in that context of he has beaten people up, he's just laid waste to people. That's awesome. That's perfect because you just casually have like 3 or 4 bodies right there with him. He just came in a rage and just took everybody out. Like, yeah, okay, all right. That works. That's effective.
It was really good. NXT was a very solid show.
I enjoyed it. I'm getting more enjoyment out of NXT than I am either of the other two shows, but that's been the case for a long time now because I enjoy NXT more.
NXT is an easy show to watch. It doesn't make your brain hurt. It doesn't. It's very simple and easy. Could it be better? Yeah. Could there be more interesting stories? Yeah. But they're pushing the right amount of talent. At some point, we're going to have to learn how to create different characters other than dark and evil and spooky.
Well, they're kind of doing that with different people.
They're trying, but we're going to have to learn how to create a different style of a character.
Yeah, I mean, they're working on it, but it's hard right now, right? Because you can't have people come in and necessarily develop the characters like they should. Because that was always a big part of it, was you would have somebody get essentially TV ready, and then you would debut them on TV. Well, now they're not doing the classes, I don't think, so you can't help people get TV ready unless they're doing it over, like, Zoom or whatever. Because that's one of Sean's main jobs is he does the polishing class. He gets everybody ready to go for TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they're doing his class. So right now, it's just we're going to use who we have, and we're just going to run with it. But I will say this. I like how Phantasma's group attacked Fandango and drug him to the ring. That was a nice little touch, too. They looked completely badass doing that.
Yeah.
Because I was like, they brought a man with them. Oh, that's Fandango, right. And then Breeze tried to make the save, and
didn't work so well.
He paid for it.
He did.
But I think that does it for us. What do you think?
It does do it for us here tonight. Believe we're going to do some little bit of Fortnite?
I think so.
Think that's the plan? We'll do a little bit of Fortnite with friends. We're going to drive around. It's so much fun running over people with a car in Fortnite. So much fun. So much fun. I have clips on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. Anyway, Saturday Night Midnight is another edition of Steve Radio, SteveRadio.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Like I said, if you have suggestions for topics that you would like to hear them talk about on the Sunday night show, tweet them at Flames Forums. Monday night, we'll be back with the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of The Rack. At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Probably no bowling in the Fortnite tonight. That's not going to be a thing. That would be a Saturday thing because it's already midnight. By the way, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free. by just clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad, hashtag epic partner.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias and on Twitch at Lens Ward, LANSWOD. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBGFilms.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will be doing Challenge Night on Fortnite with friends. So you don't want to miss it. So till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.